ahead of us, in your other hand, find 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We'll be looking mainly at that chapter tonight, but we'll begin in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 and 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 6, I'm going to read the first 8 verses that we're all so familiar with. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, Isaiah wrote, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one having 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Isaiah says in verse 5, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." This great story that happened in Isaiah chapter 6 is preached time and time again, especially with a missions emphasis, or an emphasis on winning lost folks to Christ. Isaiah saw this vision of the Lord holy and lifted up. And he said in verse number 8, "Here am I, Lord, send me." That call, that verse has been written into one of the hymns that we sing, and that's been a familiar verse down through the ages and a familiar calling. But what I want you to notice is not the event itself, but when it happened. Notice at the very beginning in verse number 1, Isaiah said that this tremendous vision that he had, this timeless experience that we still talk about so much today, happened in the year that King Uzziah died. Now you understand that nothing happens by coincidence. God has a timing system. And so when the Bible says that this great event happened in the year that King Uzziah died, that ought to be an indication there's something to that for us. There's some reason that God gave this great vision to Isaiah in the year that King Uzziah died. And the only way we're going to figure that out, if we can at all, is to go back and look at Uzziah. So go back, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And this is the chapter, along with one in 2 Kings, that give us the most information about Uzziah, and I think, and hopefully, we can understand why that vision happened to Isaiah when it happened, in the year that King Uzziah died. It could have been any year. It could have been any time while he was still alive or any time after he died, but it was in the year that King Uzziah died. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, notice in verse 1, the Bible says, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father, Amaziah, did." Uzziah, in verse number 1, there are 5 different men in the Bible named Uzziah. So sometimes we've got to be careful. Some folks get John the Apostle and John the Baptist mixed up. And if you get those two mixed up, you're going to be mixed up. There are many times that there are different people by the same name. There is, in the book of Acts, there's a disciple of the Lord named Judas, but it's not Judas Iscariot. So we have to be careful in noticing one from another. The name Uzziah was a common name in the Old Testament. The name Uzziah means God is my strength. And there, as I mentioned, there are 5 different men named Uzziah in the Bible. So we're relegating our study to this Uzziah who was the king. The other four we'll not talk about. They're mentioned in Chronicles and Ezra and Nehemiah. But this Uzziah, whose name means God is my strength, is mentioned 27 times in Scripture. So we have quite a bit of information about him. And when we're first introduced to him, he is 16 years old, and he's made king in the room of his father, Amaziah. Look back, if you would, one chapter to chapter 25. And let's notice something. The Bible is careful to, at the very beginning, tell us about this man Uzziah, who his father is. We go back to chapter 25. If you're familiar with the book of 2 Chronicles in this section, we're seeing one king of Judah after the other. Uzziah is actually the ninth king of Judah, so sometimes each chapter introduces us to another one. By the end of the chapter, he's dead and the son's introduced in the next chapter. So in chapter 26, it's about Uzziah. Chapter 25 is about his father Amaziah. But I want you to back up one more chapter to chapter 24. Let's look at his grandfather. His grandfather in chapter 24 is Joash. And Joash, the Bible tells us in chapter 24, was 7 years old when he began to reign. I love Bible stories. There is so much information packed into that little bit. You know, you can hear newscasters talk on television, and you hear talk shows or all that kind of stuff, and people say a billion words and don't say anything of any value. And yet the Word of God is concise and it's short, and yet within its pages are just tremendous amounts of information. And when we read about Joash in chapter 24, the Bible says he was 7 years old when he began to reign. Now, you and I would probably be quick to admit that's pretty young to be the king of a country, 7 years of age. But the reason, if we read the chapters before, we don't have time to read all that, but the reason that he got the throne at 7 years old is because his father died, and when his father died, his mother killed all the father's sons so that she could be the queen. Doesn't that sound like a TV drama to you? A Hollywood movie? All right? His father died, and when his father died, his mother killed all the sons, not the daughters, she wasn't worried about them, but killed all the sons, so that she could be the queen and none of them would, there would be no heir to be the king and she would be able to rule. But one of the king's daughters took one of those sons and hid him when he was only 1 year old. And that was this boy Joash that we're reading about. Hid him when he was 1 year old and hid him for 6 years until he was seven, and then they brought him out of the shadows and announced to Athaliah, his mother, that they had a seed and they had one. And so at 7 years old, he ascended the throne of Judah. And the Bible tells us about him in chapter 24 and verse 1 and says he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash, notice this in verse 2, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now, we don't have time to go through chapter 24, but again, that thing about did right all the years of Jehoiada, there's a great story in there. But let's just relegate ourselves right now to what we're reading. Joash, at 7 years old, ascended the throne. He reigned for 40 years, so he from 7 till 47, he was the king over Judah, and the Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now go to his son in chapter 25. Amaziah, after Joash dies. Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. So that means he lived to be 54 years old. He was 25 when he took the throne, and he lived another 29 years, so 54. Most of these kings lived 40s, 50s, 60s if they were fortunate back in that day. I'm glad we live when we live now. I think 40s and 50s and 60s is kind of cut short anymore. But that was the lifespan back there. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem, verse 2, and he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord. So he's got a grandfather that did right, and he's got a father that did right. And then the Bible tells us, as we read in chapter 26 and verse 4, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Uzziah had a godly heritage. Uzziah had a good home upbringing. His grandfather, we could go farther back, and actually if we went to his great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather, they were good too. Back another generation, and you get a little messed up, but he had some upbringing, he had some teaching at grandfather's knee, at daddy's knee. He got some teaching from mom, from grandma, and he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 4 said, according to all that his father Amaziah did. If you were raised in a Christian home, you ought to thank God every single day of your life. If you had a Christian mother or a Christian father, if you had Christian grandparents, you ought to be so thankful for that. That ought to fill your prayer list every time you get down on your knees to pray, that you have a good and a godly heritage. And one of the reasons Uzziah did right in the sight of the Lord is because he had that heritage. Now you say, well, preacher, I didn't have that heritage. Now, I'm in that group. I didn't. My dad got saved years after I did. So I was not raised up in a Christian home. But you know what? I can be that parent and that grandparent for the ones that are coming behind me. You can begin that godly heritage in your family and in your household. We need to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord for the sake of the next generation. You know what we always say? I don't know about this generation. You know what our parents said about us? I don't know about this generation. And that's what their parents said about their generation. Every generation, we just kind of get a little more quizzical. But the best thing we can do is set a godly example for those that are coming behind us. And Uzziah had a good start. You know what the problem with it, with a lot of kids is? They don't get a good start. They don't get a good start. I heard, and I don't want to step out into areas that are not my expertise, but Sonia was telling me that the school system in Cambridge is changing over, and they're putting kindergarten, first, second in one building, third, fourth, fifth, and I might have these grades different, but third, fourth, fifth in another building. South is going to be kindergarten, first and second. North is going to be, and they're breaking down. You know, when I was in school, first through sixth, we're all in one, or kindergarten to sixth, we're all in one. Seventh and eighth, where I went, were junior high. 9 to 12 were high school. And there wasn't a lot of problem. But the problem they're having now is that sixth graders are such a negative influence on kindergarten, first, and second graders. And so they're dividing it up. They're changing the whole system because of the way kids are today. And what a sad thing. What a sad generation we live in. And we need kids. That's why Brother Eric goes out on Saturdays and Deanna runs a bus and Brother John runs a bus. That's why we go out and bring kids in, because these kids need to know about the Lord. And so Uzziah had that advantage. He was raised in a godly home. He was raised around the things of God. And he did right in the sight of the Lord. I want you to notice something about Uzziah here in chapter 26. Let's start down in verse number 5. I want you to see three things tonight. Number one, his prosperity. His prosperity. It says in verse number 4, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, verse 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of the visions of God. Zechariah was the priest, the high priest at that time. And the end of the verse says, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. You know, there's a lot of preachers on TV these days talking about prosperity. In fact, they've even got it called now the prosperity gospel. And they're on there telling you how you can achieve your destiny. That's the key word today among false teachers, if I can say that. The key word is destiny. Achieving and reaching your destiny. That's not a biblical word. And it's not even a biblical teaching. But seeking God is a biblical term. And the Bible tells us in verse number 5, he sought God, and as long as he sought God, God made him to prosper. All these fellows writing all these books on how you can be prosperous, all you've got to have is one line: seek God and prosper. That's how simple it is. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be made wealthy. Now, that's what they're talking about. Doesn't mean you're going to be made rich, but it means you will prosper. And prosperity is much greater than just riches. Prosperity is a father producing a son that does that which is right in the sight of the Lord. All the money in the world can't be more valuable than that. But the Bible tells us that as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Think of listen to a couple verses if you would. We don't have time to turn to them, but Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, if you want to jot down the reference. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, God said, "If thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart." If thou seek him with all thy heart. How many folks today are seeking God with all their heart? Many are seeking wealth, seeking riches, seeking fame, seeking fortune. But how many are seeking God with all their heart? The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We need to seek the right thing. 1 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says, "Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." 1 Chronicles 6:10. "Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." Psalm chapter 105, verse 4. "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore." Uzziah was one that did exactly what the Bible says to do. He sought after the Lord, and the Lord made him prosper. One more verse, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Seek him while he may be found. So the Bible tells us about Uzziah. Not only do we know that he's got a godly heritage and a good upbringing, but the Bible tells us about him individually that he sought God. And as long as he sought the Lord God, God made him to prosper. Now we see that prosperity spelled out beginning in verse number 6. In verse 6 to 8, we see that that prosperity was shown in not wealth and not riches, but in defeating his enemies. Because he sought the Lord his God, God defended him. God fought for him, and he defeated his enemies. Notice in verse 6, "And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and brake down the wall of Gath," that's the city of the Philistines, "and the wall of Jebna, and the walls of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod, and among the Philistines." One of the enemies that was a thorn in the flesh to the nation of Israel. From the days of the first king, Saul, through David and all the other kings, the Philistines were a problem to them. And yet Uzziah had victory over those enemies because he sought the Lord his God. Oh, that we would have leaders that would seek the Lord our God. All that we would have people in the political realm. This is a king, you understand? This is a politician. That we would have politicians that would seek the Lord their God. That's how our nation becomes prosperous. Not by passing bills and making legislation and some of those things. I understand there's a necessity to some of those things. Not all of them, but some of them. But the thing that's going to make anybody prosper is not all that stuff, but seeking the Lord. And when he sought the Lord, God gave him victory over his enemies. Notice in verse 7, "And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians." You know the Arabians are a problem to people today? All right. He had victory over them. The Arabians that dwelt in Gubal. And then notice the next one, "and the Mehunims." You say, who's that? Or who dat? Who's the Mehunims? This is the only time they're mentioned in Scripture. And I did some research and looked it up, and they said, well, they're some of the Canaanites that when Israel conquered the land, these Canaanites volunteered service for the house of God, and they worked in there. That's all history. There's nothing in the Bible about that. But apparently the fact that God helped him to conquer them meant that they were an enemy. Maybe one from the inside. One that had infiltrated the nation of Israel. But God is helping him because he sought the Lord his God. I kind of jokingly thought about this yesterday or today and thought, I wonder if they had little red hats with white letters that said, I'm trying to remember the phrase, "Make Judah great again." Are you with me? All right, "Make Judah great again." I don't know, but they were seeking the Lord their God, and God was giving them victory over their enemies. The Philistines, the Arabians, the Mehunims, look at verse number 8, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt. The Ammonites, they were a known enemy of the people of Israel. And the Bible doesn't speak about Him conquering them, but the fact that they're giving gifts to Him means that they're acknowledging Him as a conqueror, acknowledging Him as superior, as a ruler over them. They're bringing gifts to Him. So these four different groups of people, He refortified the country. He strengthened the countryside. He brought peace to the people because He was seeking the Lord His God. The way to bring peace to any nation is to seek God, to seek Him first. And so God gave him victory over his enemies. He defeated them because he was seeking after God. Not only that, but notice verse number 9. Not only did he refortify the country, but he reorganized, we're still looking at the country here. Verse number 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. You understand the towers he's talking about? You understand, like, we think of the city of Jericho, the walls of Jericho that came falling down? Jericho was surrounded by a big wall all the way around it. All these ancient cities were built that way. Jerusalem was built that way. And all the cities were surrounded by big walls. Well, he was the one that you know, we see it commonly now. He's the one that went to the corners of those walls and built a tower in each of the corners for protection. What a great idea. He went and built towers, the Bible says in verse number 9, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the turning of the wall, and he fortified them. He put sentries there. He put guards there to watch against the enemy, to protect them. And he's doing this because God's giving him wisdom. In verse 10 it says, also he built towers in the desert. Watchtowers, they could see the enemy coming from a great distance. Forward stations, as we would call them in the military today. He built towers in the desert, then notice in verse 10, and digged many wells. The nation is benefiting because Uzziah is seeking the Lord his God. You see that? The nation is benefiting from one man that's seeking the Lord his God. It doesn't take a great army. It doesn't take a multitude. It doesn't take many to turn the heart of the Lord. It just takes one who's really seeking Him. And here God blessed that nation because there was a leader, there was a king that was seeking God and doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He built towers. He digged wells. I like the end of verse 10. Too bad Daryl's not here tonight. For he loved husbandry. That's a great phrase. He loved husbandry. It says in verse 10, he digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. The agriculture of his nation benefited by him seeking the Lord his God. So we understand what he did. He refortified the country. He built the nation back up. He gave them hope. He gave them excitement. Then notice verse 11 to 13. He built an army. Verse 11, moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands. According to the number of the account by the hand of Jehiel, the scribe, and Manasseh, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains, the whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. Now to help us with these numbers, let's just say in verse number 12, the number of the officers of the military were 2,600. 2,600 men that led the other men into battle. And then in verse 13, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. 307,500 soldiers under the care of 2,600 officers. All this under the hand of Uzziah. And all this because Uzziah sought the Lord his God. These things are rolling downhill. President Reagan called it the trickle-down effect. Well, here's the trickle-down effect of a good, godly leader, is that God blesses those that are following him because of his godly leadership. Uzziah is in such a wonderful position. The Bible says back there in verse number 5, that as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. The end of verse 8, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. The end of verse 15, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Everything about Uzziah is good. He did that which is right. Now, not only did he build an army, but he re-equipped that army. Notice in verse 14, and Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stone. He's giving them the weaponry they need to fight the battle. Well, that doesn't sound like rocket science, does it? That sounds a little bit like common sense. To make sure that the people going out to fight the battle have the proper instruments in hand to be able to be successful in that battle. So why do modern day politicians and people have such a trouble with that? Why do they struggle so much with these things? He made sure that they were prepared. They had, verse 15, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men, to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name was spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. I like Uzziah, don't you? He's seeking the Lord his God. He's doing that which benefits his people, and God is blessing him at every turn. Everything he does is being blessed of God because he's seeking God. There has been some that has suggested, and our minds go back now to Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord also lifted up. Some have suggested, and I hate to pin this on Isaiah, that the reason that Isaiah didn't see God holy and lifted up while Uzziah was alive is because when Uzziah was alive, everybody's eyes were on him instead of being on God. That while Uzziah was alive and doing all these wonderful things and everybody's prospering and the military's strong and the waters, the wells are there and there's much cattle and everything's going great. When everything's going great, the people's eyes weren't on God. They were on Uzziah. And so it wasn't until Uzziah died that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. Now again, I'm not going to put a whole lot on that. I don't want to pin that on Isaiah and say that he was that guilty. But I see that's human nature even today. So many folks have been so relieved at the past election that sometimes we forget we're not looking to the White House. We're not looking to politicians. We're looking to the Lord our God. We're thankful for a Uzziah. We appreciate godly leadership. We want godly leadership. We need godly leadership. But we've got to remember that that person's just, you know, the Apostle Paul said this, be ye followers of me as I also am of God. Paul didn't say, put your eyes just... He said, you follow me as long as I'm following God. But if I get out of the way, don't follow me. You make sure you're keeping your eyes on God. Uzziah was such a godly and blessed king that maybe it's possible some were putting their eyes on him instead of in the right place and thinking everything was fine now because we've got Uzziah as a king. Now, one of the worst words in all the Bible happens in verse 16. I hate that word. But. I wish we could erase that. Why is it that God sees fit, after building him up in our eyes, so to speak, and showing us his prosperity, why does then he turn around in verse 16 and show us his pride? And again, I tell you, I don't think I have to tell you, you know the reason, because when you are filled with prosperity, the thing you've got to watch out for is pride. When everything's going good, when everything's fine, that's when we stop counting our blessings. That's when we stop forgetting where the prosperity comes from. And Uzziah, as good as he is, and I hate to even continue on and diminish his character, but you and I understand he has some problems. There's a but in this because he's just like you and I are. And the Bible tells us in verse number 16, but when he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. You know, we shouldn't be surprised by that. Hold your place there. Look back, if you would, at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Here's a forewarning. Deuteronomy, written long before King Uzziah was born. And notice what the Lord told Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse number 10. Let's go back to verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, of depths of spring, out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Notice verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I have commanded thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God gave the nation of Israel a warning. Be careful. When that prosperity comes, be careful. When you're sitting back at ease and every need is met and everything's fine, you've got the olive oil, you've got all these things he just mentioned. He said, beware. Because when your heart is lifted up, you know the verse, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the... Oh, if Uzziah could have just had those verses in Deuteronomy written on the mirror in front of him. If he could have known Proverbs 16, 18. If he could have understood what was coming. Now that he's prospered, and now that everything the Midas touch, we call it, everything he touches is turning to gold. God's blessing him and he's prospering, but he's forgetting the reason it's happening. It's not because of him. It's because of God. And his heart, the Bible says in verse 16, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. You know, you can destroy a lifetime of good in one moment. One temptation, one snare of the devil, and you can destroy a lifetime of building a good testimony. Say, preacher, why do you say that? To say, beware. To make all of us understand, as Uzziah, as, oh, we wish somebody had been around him to surround him and tell him, be careful of what's coming. I think of David up there with the great victories and up on the mountaintop taking a look and seeing Bathsheba. When our hearts are lifted up, when we've got everything we need and we're on prosperity, be careful. You know why? When we're down on our luck, so to speak, and we're down in the dumps and things are tough, we're looking up. We're looking to God. But once we get to that top, sometimes we forget to look up. We start looking down, take our eyes off the Lord, and that's exactly what Uzziah did. So what did he do that was so bad? Well, look at verse 16. The Bible says that he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. What Uzziah did was he took liberties that were not his. You'll see in verse 17, and Azariah the priest went in after him, with him 80 priests, 80 priests with him of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not to thee, Uzziah, to burn incense into the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. As high and mighty as kings were, they had no right burning incense in the temple. That was not their job. You remember when Saul offered a sacrifice because he thought Samuel was late in coming, and Samuel rebuked the king, Saul, for doing something he had no business doing. It wasn't his right to make the sacrifice. That was the risk. It appertaineth, I like that word in verse 18, it appertaineth not to thee, Uzziah. It's not your job. It doesn't matter your motive. It doesn't matter your desire. It doesn't matter how pure your heart was. It's not your job to do this. You don't belong in the temple burning incense. God has given the sons of Aaron that responsibility. You want it done? Tell them to do it. But you don't touch it yourself. Now, it's not a real terrible sin in our book of sins. But you know, it doesn't have to be a terrible sin. He'd sought the Lord his God up until this point. Now he's so full of pride, he says, I can do anything I want to. If I want to be the priest, I'll be the priest. You know, the only king that was allowed to go in and touch the incense and the showbread was David. That's because he was a type of Christ, prophet, priest, and king. Uzziah wasn't. He was touching something he had no business touching. And so the 80 men came in and opposed him. And notice Uzziah's reaction in verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth. He got mad. He got angry. Isn't that a different characteristic from the Uzziah we've been reading about so far? It's what happens when you get out of the will of God. It's what happens when you did right in the sight of the Lord and all of a sudden start doing something when your heart's lifted up and you're proud. Your character changes. And the Bible says, and he was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. We've seen his prosperity. We've seen his pride. Now in the rest of the chapter, we're going to see his punishment. What happens to him for taking his eyes off of God and having his heart lifted up with pride? Verse 19, while he was wroth with the priest, he's standing there with a censer in his hand to burn incense. And the Bible says the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Can you see him? Uzziah's in the temple. No problem being in the temple, but he's in there burning incense. He's not supposed to be doing that. Not his responsibility, not his privilege. And he's assuming he can do whatever he wants to. And as he's doing it, and these 80 priests along with Azariah come in and confront him and tell him, get out of the temple, this isn't your job. He gets angry with them, and he continues trying to light the candles. And as he does, God smites him. God smites him with leprosy. And those 80 men and Azariah the priest all look at him and see it begin in his forehead. Verse 20, and Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him. Behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted to go out because the Lord had smitten him. When he realized that he had leprosy, he knew he had to get out. He's not allowed to be in that temple when he's unclean. Verse 21, and Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. As I research this, and I don't see anything in Scripture, but we understand that Uzziah was still king when this happened. And he spent his last days separated from the rest of the people. He had to go to his own several house. He wasn't allowed to live with any of the people now that he was a leper. And those that have researched and studied the numbers, and it's either right or not right, I don't know, said that it was for 11 years, the last 11 years of his life, he was a leper in that several house. The last 11 years of his life were so completely different from the first years of his life because his heart was lifted up with pride. He didn't give God the glory and the credit for the prosperity he'd seen. Oh, yes, he enjoyed the benefits while he had it, but later on, he took it for granted, thought he could do whatever he wanted to, and he ended up a leper. Isn't that a sad end to a story? A sad end to a man that had so much potential? But can I tell you something else? That's not the end. Remember how his grandfather did right? And his father did right, and Uzziah started out doing right. You know, the biggest problem within Christianity is not deception, it's diluting. diluting. A little less, and a little less, and a little less. Uzziah wasn't who his grandfather was and wasn't who his father was, though he did right in the sight of the Lord. And now because of what he did, his son. Notice in chapter 27, Jotham, there's the son of Uzziah. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which is right. Well, amen. He did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, but according to all that his father Uzziah did, how be it? He entered not into the temple of the Lord. And we say it this way, he didn't go to church. You know why? Because that's where his dad messed up. Dad had a bad experience in the church. Dad went in the temple, dad went in the church, and he came out a leper. I'm not going to church. I'm not going in. Those 80 priests and Azariah, they treated my dad unfairly. They tried to stop him from doing what he's doing. They did me bad in church. They did my father bad in church. I'm not going to the temple. And he didn't go there. He was a good man. He did right. But he never entered the temple. And that's Uzziah's fault. And the Bible tells us because of that at the end of verse number 2, and the people did yet corruptly. Jotham was not the leader that his father Uzziah was. And so the people began doing corruptly. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord holy and lifted up. There's a new CD out there by Bruce Fry. We were listening to it this morning as I was driving the girls to school. One of the songs, the chorus, the main line, I don't know what the name of the song is, but he says, you're free to make your choices. You're not free from the choices you make. You're free to make your choices, but you're not free from the choices you make. Choices have consequences. And we can make our choices, but we can't choose the consequences. Uzziah, as long as he sought the Lord his God, God made him to prosper. But when his heart was lifted up, it destroyed not only himself through leprosy, but it destroyed his son through a bad example. And it destroyed the people of Judah who went out and did corruptly. They would never have done that in the days of Uzziah, but they did it in the days of Jotham because Uzziah didn't finish the race. He didn't cross the finish line like he started it. You understand? It doesn't matter how we start the race. It matters how we finish it. Uzziah was doing so good till verse 16, but. Don't let that word be put in our biographies. Don't let it be our life story that we did all these things, but. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, tonight we thank you for the instruction of the Word of God. And Lord, the warning that it